Do you know people who always seem to get what they ask for? How do they do that? Whereas you, on the other hand, it seems that every time you're asking for something, it seems like you're always getting that no. Well, stay tuned to today's episode where we're going to be talking about the art of asking. Welcome back to another episode. I am Keeler Bryson, your host and founder of Teachable Life Moments. You know, in this life, in order to achieve goals and dreams and, you know, even simple things like being at work, working on a project, many times in order to get these different projects and goals and dreams accomplished, it takes the help of others. Now, you would think that that would be something that's easy, especially when we look at scripture. It tells us to ask and we shall receive. But a lot of times asking is not always an easy thing for some. And then with others, it just comes as second nature. And we've all heard the stories of people who seem to get exactly what they want whenever they ask. And you know, you can't help but wonder, why is this? What are they doing that no one else seems to be doing? You know, how do they ask for what they want and seem to get it every single time without struggle, you know, without, you know, going on and on about asking for whatever it is? And that's what today's episode is all about, the art of asking. And the art of asking is basically the skill of learning how to create a great ask. And it's a skill that successful people must learn to do and to do really well. Not only being able to have a great ask, but we also have to learn how to say no as well in this lifetime. Because, you know, you can't say yes to everything. And there are times when we have to say no. And so today we're just going to talk about how to ask. And maybe in another episode, we will address how to say no, because we know that for a lot of people, saying no is a struggle. And no doesn't have to be justified. And no is a complete sentence. So remember that. You know, most people find themselves in life settling a lot of times. Have you ever found yourself settling? You know, or do you know people who live settled lives? They're never really achieving or receiving what they hold in their dreams. You know, and why? It's because they never ask for what they want. And when we look at women, a lot of times, women sometimes have a harder time than men asking for what we want, especially when it comes to salaries. A lot of times when men are looking for new jobs or they're on a job interview, they have no problem negotiating salary, a higher salary, and asking for a higher salary. Whereas women, on the other hand, in many instances, we will leave money on the table and accept the salary that is offered to us instead of asking for more, asking for what we desire, asking for what we deserve. And today's episode is to challenge us to begin to ask for what we want and to become skilled at the art of asking for what we want. When we take control of our life by asking for what we want and what we need, that is one of the ways that we can begin accomplishing anything that our heart desires. You know, we have to ask because we don't have all the resources in many cases. A lot of times it takes the help and the assistance of others to help us manifest our dreams and our desires. And therefore, we've got to become skilled and bold at asking for what we want. And after today's episode, it is my desire that you will be better equipped to walk into any situation in any relationship expecting success from your ask. So what is the art of asking? You know, when you think about it, a lot of times you think you just ask and then you give them an opportunity to say yay or no. And if that's your definition of what you believe the art of asking is, then I'm so glad that you're tuning in to today's episode, because there is a strategy that you should be employing when you are asking for a big ask or an ask that is life-changing in some way, because those are the type of asks that you just don't want to go in without any preparation on how to be savvy and how to be strategic in your ask. When you think about a lot of folks who are sales reps, they have a strategy, and their organizations that they work for realize that these sales reps need to be trained and skilled on how to ask for a sale, whether it's selling cars or selling homes. If you're a real estate agent, you know, we have to go through that training to learn how to deal with objections and how to listen to the client or the customer and let them do the talking so that you can figure out how to position yourself to win and to get a yes to your ask. And so I believe that in our personal lives, we need to learn how to have that same skill set so that we can begin to be more successful in getting the things that we desire by way of asking for it. So one of the first strategies that I want to try to quickly cover, if I can't get to all 12 of them, that's right, 12 strategies to help you fine-tune your art of asking. I may have to turn today's episode into two separate episodes, but I'll see how far I get. And if I can't get it in 30 minutes, then it will be split into two episodes. So the first one is to ask with confidence. You know, you've experienced, I'm sure, at some point, maybe someone coming to you asking for your support, a donation or supporting a cause, and maybe they didn't display a strong level of confidence. And when you've encountered it, a lot of times it's so easy to give them a quick no, because you can see that they just don't have the confidence. They don't really believe in what it is that they're asking you for. They may not be even confident in the product that they're trying to offer you or sell you. And as a result, it's quick, you know, it's very easy to say no to a person like that. So if you want to be able to be successful in your ask, you must have confidence. And one of the ways to have confidence is to practice, to be knowledgeable of the product that you're trying to offer to a buyer. When you're confident, it's displayed in your body language, your posture. It is displayed in your eye contact, your tone of voice, your choice of words. But on the other hand, now, confidence is not being brash and arrogant or conceited. Now, because if you run into someone that's arrogant and conceited, that is a big turnoff for me, and I'm sure it is for many folks. And so we want to be confident, but we don't want to be brash, arrogant, or conceited. And so when you figured out, you know, what it is you want to ask for, you want to do it with certainty. You want to do it with boldness. And yes, you want to do it with confidence. Now, the only downside is that your request still may be denied, but you've got to remember that you are in no worse position than before. You know, and it just simply means that you need to look for another route for results. You know, we cannot be afraid of the no, because there are times when we will be rejected, and that's okay. That just wasn't maybe the buyer or the person that could help us at that time. Nonetheless, when you are asking, make sure that you present yourself with confidence, not just in word, not in mindset, but also in your body language. Number two is you want to make sure that your ask is clear. You know, sometimes when people come and they want to ask for something, they may be a little nervous, may not be as confident, and maybe as a result, they're not as precise as they need to be. So before you go to someone and ask, you need to be very clear about what it is you're asking for, especially if you're dealing with someone that is highly successful, you know, highly sought after. A lot of times, these are the type of people that do not want to waste time. They are very particular and strategic in what they commit their time and energy to. So therefore, you need to be very clear about your ask. Here are some things to consider when you are trying to, you know, be clear about your ask. You first want to define the problem. Do not go to the person with your ask until you have defined your problem. What is it that you're trying to solve, in other words? Then you want to specify what it is. I mean, exactly what it is you want. You want to be able to list out, you know, like what type of processes and steps and people that will be involved that are needed to solve the problem. What type of materials are needed? How much time are you estimating that it's going to take for that person to assist you with your project? You don't want to be vague, because vagueness creates stress for the other person, because they're not really sure what they're committing to, because you're not even clear about what it is you want them to do. So you want to make sure you've defined the problem. You want to specify, you know, you want to be specific about all the details of what it is you're asking about. And then you want to outline how much time, energy, money, or commitment you think it will take. Because when you're asking someone to help you with something or to donate towards something that you're doing, you want to be able to tell them, okay, this is how much money I need. This is how much commitment I'll need for you to volunteer to help with this project. We need you here at 8 a.m. and then we expect for you to be done, or the project to end at noon. And then when you come, you know, we need you to arrive maybe 30 minutes early to do a check-in, to do a walkthrough. Those are specifics, and that helps the folks that you're asking to feel more clear about what it is that's going to be required of them. A lot of times when you aren't able to provide the specifics and you haven't hashed it out, then people are going to say no, because no one wants to walk into confusion. Confusion is a time waster. And I'm here to tell you, you know, we are in an age where people's time is valuable. Number three, ask someone who can give it to you. One of my beliefs is, don't talk about the problem to someone who cannot give you a yes. Because a lot of times, if you don't live by that thought or that mindset, you could be out here asking the wrong person. You've wasted, you know, all this time being confident and being specific and all of that and being clear, and you're not even talking to the decision maker, the person that can make it happen, the person that can say yes. So before you ask someone for something, make an assessment of whether or not that person will be able to help you. Because, you know, everybody, you know, somebody can tell you yes, and then later on you get further into the project and realize they're not the right person. They don't even have the authority to tell you yes or to release resources to you to help you with your project. So you want to make sure that you're dealing with people who are very qualified, and not only just qualified, but just motivated to help. Because sometimes, you know, people could be qualified but not motivated. And as a result, that can definitely hamper your project when you've got a person that's not motivated to help. And then you could be asking the wrong person, you know, and they're not even capable of delivering it, but you're thinking that this person can deliver. Nothing is worse than asking a person to help you and they agree to do it, and then later on you find out they're not even capable of delivering. So you want to make sure when you're asking something of someone that they're capable, they're competent, they have the resources and the authority to help you. The other thing you want to ask whether or not, do you know whether this person is capable of delivering, you know, what you're about to ask of him or her? or are you just hoping the potential is there? No, you don't want to just be hoping. You want to do your research and find out, get references, check around, ask, your colleagues, your friends, or other folks that you guys mutually know, ask folks that you've heard of that person helped on a previous project, to find out, because no one wants to waste time. And a lot of times, if we don't do our research, we end up getting into these situations where a relationship can be damaged because of, some false understanding, miscommunications, and it's all a result of not doing the research and not having or asking the right person that can give it to you. The next thing is ask consistently. Sometimes you may have to ask more than one. Some people fold after making one timid request, and then they don't want to ask anymore, and then they quit too soon. Have you ever found yourself doing that? You ask that first time, you're like, oh my God, that was just such a stressful situation. I was nervous and I was just feeling so inadequate and just feeling just not prepared. And so a lot of people will fold and they'll just quit in the middle of asking and be like, that's okay. I'm sorry to waste your time. Keep on asking until you find the answers. Excuse me. In sales, that's one of the things that all salespeople understand is that you have to be consistent in asking. You got to find a way to ask that works for you. And then once you find that way that works for you, keep on using it. Number five is you want to ask creatively and with humor. And this is one that I love. Number five is just ask creatively and with humor. Humor is a way to break the ice and it's a way to capture the attention of a person, and it breaks down our defenses. There's nothing like having a great laugh, and then all of a sudden, all of that nervousness, that fear goes away because the humor just has a way of just shattering all of that. That's one of the reasons why in a lot of meetings, they are preceded first with an icebreaker, something fun, something to break the tension in the atmosphere. And so certainly creativity and humor is a great way to ask. Creativity, it disarms our resistance and it opens our minds to new possibilities. And one example of this that I thought was so neat was there was this person who was wanting to apply for a position at this organization. And the person came up with a creative way to cause the hiring manager to remember their name so that they would be at top of mind once the hiring manager decided to, get ready to post the position or what have you. So the person shared that she sent the hiring manager some microwave popcorn, and it had a cute note in there that said, I am going to continue to. They first let them know that they felt like the job was theirs and that they were going to continue to pop up every so often until the job truly became theirs. And so the hiring manager thought that that was such a great way to reach out and to show interest in the position. And the person shared another creative idea that they did in order to continue to let that hiring manager know that they were interested and they truly believed that position was theirs. So if you want someone's attention, don't send an ordinary email, fax, or a letter. You want to dream up something that is very creative and something that has some humor to it. And then that will help you in your ask. It breaks the ice and it causes that person to connect with you. Number six is you want to remember you must give something to get something. This too is another one of my favorites. You can get everything in life you want if you will just help enough people get what they want. You know, when you're asking, always be sure to explain how the other party will benefit and win because they've acted positively on your request. There's nothing more disappointing than for someone to come to you with an offer, with a proposal, and they are so excited about it and they believe you should do it and participate and support it. But you're on the other hand wondering, what in the world is in it for me? And a lot of times we want to truly process that in thinking that we've come up with a mutually beneficial agreement, but is it truly mutually beneficial or is it just beneficial for you? And then sometimes we can think that what we are proposing is mutually beneficial, but at the end of the day, from the other person's perspective, is not. When you are asking someone for something, you want to make sure that you are giving something of equal value as well. You can't ask someone to support something and then they're not getting anything out of it. In fact, they're giving more than they are getting in return. And so you want to make sure that it is equal exchange when you're asking someone for something. Are you giving or are you only asking to receive? Number seven, you want to act sincerely. You know, you can't be all rough and rowdy about it. You can have anything you want if you want it desperately enough, but you want to keep in mind that you want your passion to show. You want to show that you are stirred up about what it is that you are asking for. And when people see your sincerity, you know, it causes them to want to help and to support you. You want to, you know, be honest and tell it like it is. And don't worry if your presentation isn't perfect. Just ask from your heart, because a lot of times what we do from the heart will reach the heart of the person that we're trying to connect with. You know, be honest, be open. I've seen people just be so vulnerable in their ask until it just touches the heart of the other person to see that that person was just so honest, so vulnerable, sharing their story. And it just kind of pulls on your heartstrings, you know, when you're talking to that person or asking or making your ask, you know, maintain eye contact while you're asking, because it further demonstrates, you know, that you can be trusted. You know, it demonstrates your integrity and your passion for the project. There's nothing worse than a person asking and they can't even look you directly in the eyes. And a lot of times, you know, that makes you feel like, okay, you know, what are you trying to hide? You can't look me in the eye. I'm trying to connect with you, you know, and I need to feel you. And a lot of times I can feel you if I can look you in your eyes and see the passion in your eyes, as well as feel it transferring from you onto me. And so remember to just be sincere. You know, don't try to present a false image of just grandeur and you've got it all together. You know, just be humble about it and let it show it for what it truly is. Don't try to paint a picture of grandeur more than it is. Just be honest and upfront with people. And number eight is master the pause. Yes. Now, this is one that sometimes make people uncomfortable, because some people feel like the silence after you've made your ask is like uncomfortable. But we've got to be comfortable with mastering the pause. When you ask, look the other person in the eye and then be quiet. Be quiet. Don't try to fill that empty space with talk. Just ask and then wait. Don't throw in a bunch of words to try to fill in that space, you know, while you're waiting for their response. You know, this is the waiting part. You know, it's the silence. I know it can be deafening, you know, and it can be critical, but give that person space to consider what you said and to respond thoughtfully before you jump in there and try to fill that space with more words. You know, just make a simple ask and then wait. Let them make the next move. Because if you speak up too quickly, you can push them into a space of no. And so that's why we want to learn how to master the pause. And to be honest, it really kind of puts pressure on them as well to really think and to, you know, kind of think rather quickly. Number 9, make people feel good about helping. You don't want to make people feel guilty. You don't want to make people feel like they've got to give out of desperation. You know, it's time out for all of those type of scams and schemes of trying to, you know, make people feel any other emotion other than good. You know, give people space to be kind and to be helpful, you know, because if it feels awkward, you know, a lot of times they may just give just to get you out of their face because you really didn't make them feel good. You made them feel bad. You made them feel guilty, or you tried to shame them into giving. So don't do that. Make people feel good, you know, so that they believe in what it is that you are asking them for. And then let them know how much it means to you and how helpful it was. I worked for a manager once, and he would tell us that if you will let people believe that you need their help, most people want to help. So always come to them like, I need your help. Can you help me? Because most people are willing to help. So you can use that as an angle, but always make them feel good about helping. Number 10, try to ask everyone, you know, push yourself beyond your comfort zone. And definitely asking everyone will push you beyond your comfort zone. Everyone is even the people that you normally do not interact with. But because you're going to ask everyone, you're going to end up talking to folks you normally don't talk to, people that are not even in your neighborhood. You're going to talk to people when you're striking up conversations with strangers. You're going to talk to people, your Uber driver, your bus driver, your school teacher. You're going to talk to your fitness instructor. I mean, you're going to like tell everybody. You're going to ask everybody. You're going to share your story with everybody. You must ask everyone. Not just the people you know, the people you're comfortable with. You must ask everyone. Number 11, say thank you. You know, sometimes people end up saying yes, and then we get so excited, we forget to say thank you. And remember, you can never say thank you enough. Say thank you when you receive the yes. Send a thank you note later on. Just continue to let others know how that person helped you and how you thank them. Thank them publicly, privately, when they're in your presence and when they're away. And number 12, don't be afraid of hearing no. You know, we're in a culture that's afraid to say no. And then on the other hand, we're afraid to ask people for what we want because we're afraid of hearing no. But there is, you know, nothing wrong with having a no. It just means your next opportunity is around the corner. So get very comfortable with hearing the word no, because you will hear it, but you're going to hear some yeses as well. You know, but the one thing that we want to remember about the of being comfortable with hearing no is we don't want to be that one person that's always telling us no, because sometimes the person we can hear no from the most sometimes can be ourselves. You know that? And we don't want to be that one that's always saying no. You know, we want to be the person that is not holding ourselves back. We don't want to be the person that's trying to, you know, always giving up too quickly, you know, or walking away, or the person is not speaking up and always being silent because we are not comfortable or we're afraid of hearing no. You know, there is a quote that says, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So don't be the person that's always telling you no. And don't be afraid of hearing no, because that is a part of asking. You will have some no's sometimes. So I trust that today's episode was very helpful to you, and it will cause you to start getting what you want and cause you to become even more comfortable with asking for what you want. There's a quote by Oprah that says, if you get in life what you have the courage to ask for. So if you want to begin to get more in life, then have the courage. It's going to require the courage that sometimes you may struggle with. But the more comfortable you become with asking and you begin practicing these different strategies, then you too will be one of those who always seems to get a yes and get what they want. All right, this is Keeler Bryson, and you've been listening to the Teachable Life Moments with Keeler Bryson podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and if you haven't already done so, please go and rate and review and share this podcast. Join me next week for another episode of Teachable Life Moments, and thank you for listening.